see. When we come back, a federal judge has dealt a major blow to calls for justice in the police killing of Breonna Taylor, throwing out felony charges against two former Louisville police officers for their roles in her fatal shooting in her own home. We'll speak with the family attorney, Ben Crump, as well as the Tyre Nichols case and more. Stay with us. الطغيان يزاهر عصيان لو رح اموت ميت مرة رح اعود ميت مرة مصقول الحسام اتصدى جيشا يشبهني نلتحم ببعض ونستعصي by Mashru Leila. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to the police killing of Breonna Taylor in Kentucky, where a federal judge has dealt a major blow to calls for justice after throwing out felony charges against two former Louisville police officers for their roles in her fatal shooting in her own home over 4 years ago. Officers Joshua Janes and Kyle Meany, who are white, were charged in 2022 with falsifying a warrant that led to the police raid on Taylor's apartment in March 2020. The two officers were not present during the fatal shooting. The federal judge instead has ruled that Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, is legally responsible for her death after he fired his gun, thinking that the men were intruders in the home, when seven plainclothes police officers serving a no-knock warrant broke down the door, barged in just after midnight on March 13, 2020. 26-year-old Breonna Taylor was an emergency medical technician, an aspiring nurse. She was asleep when she was shot dead. In 2022, the Justice Department filed civil rights charges against four officers involved in Taylor's death. Kelly Goodlett was the only one to plead guilty in 2022, admitting she had helped a fellow officer lie to convince a judge to sign off on the no-knock warrant, falsely claiming they had evidence of drug dealings taking place in Taylor's home. No drugs were ever found. Meanwhile, former Louisville officer Brett Hankison faces a third trial in October. He was acquitted in 2022 of three state counts of wanton endangerment for shooting into Breonna Taylor's neighbor's apartment during the raid. And last year, a jury was deadlocked over whether to convict him on use of excessive force in violating Taylor's rights, her partner's, and her neighbor's. The two officers who actually fatally shot Taylor, Jonathan Mattingly and Miles Cosgrove, have never been charged. Breonna Taylor's death in a hail of police gunfire in 2020, which came just 2 months before the police murder of George Floyd in Minnesota, sparked protests across the country and world. For more, we're joined by Ben Crump, civil rights attorney. Ben, welcome back to Democracy Now! Can you explain what this judge's ruling means?
That it continues the systematic pattern of disrespect to Black women, and the fact that there is little to no justice when Black women are unjustly killed by those who are supposed to protect and serve them. The family is devastated. Us social justice, civil rights attorneys are just dumbfounded by this ruling. You have officers who lie on a probable cause affidavit to get a no-knock warrant to bust into a woman's apartment. That Black woman, Breonna Taylor, is killed as a result of your unnecessary, unjustifiable, unconstitutional affront to the Fourth Amendment against unlawful search and seizure. And yet the judge says, well, There's nothing they did to cause her death, but yet we want to blame her boyfriend, a black man named Kenny Walker, who is legally in the apartment, who has a lawful right to be a registered gun owner, who tries to defend his home, his woman, himself. And that is what you're going to say is the cause of her death, because they were trying to defend themselves against people they thought were burglarizing their home. It flies in the face of justice and all common sense.
I mean, Kenny was very clear in saying he did not understand that these men were police officers, that they didn't identify himself. They were breaking down his door.
Yeah, you know, Amy, it's the intellectual justification of discrimination. These officers knew that they were lying before on the probable cause affidavit, and then as Officer Gottlieb has pled and testified, they were trying to conspire and lie in the aftermath of killing Breonna Taylor. Now, everybody else in America sees that. This federal judge apparently is doing what the United States government has done, whether it's Pamela Turner's case, who a black woman killed in Houston, Texas. We're fighting Sonya Massey now in Illinois. It's this Sandra Bland. It's this epidemic of black women being killed by police and police getting away with murder. And we have to scream at the top of our lungs to continue to say their name and not let them get away with this. The Justice Department is going to appeal this matter. And what we're going to continue to do is to rally for justice both in the courtrooms and outside the courtrooms for these black women like Breonna Taylor, like Pamela Turner, like Atiana Jefferson, like Sonya Massey. I mean, how many more?
Hmm. Ben Crump, I also wanted to ask you about the news that a second former Memphis police officer has pleaded guilty in the police killing of Tyre Nichols, the 29-year-old black father who died after a brutal police beating. The former officer, Emmett Martin, pleaded guilty to federal civil rights violations and could face up to 40 years in prison. Go back to the story of Tyre Nichols. Tell us what happened and what this means.
Well, obviously, Tyre Nichols was one of the worst police videos of brutality that we've ever witnessed. Tyre Nichols was about two blocks from his home. He didn't break any laws, but there was a Scorpion unit, this special tactic unit at the Memphis Police Department that was allowed to harass and violate the constitutional rights of black people in a certain section of Memphis, Tennessee, under the guise that they were deterring crime. And so it was a pattern and practice that they could just unjustly use excessive force to intimidate black citizens in that part of the city. And they said they wanted to do it because they wanted to lower the crime. And as I and Reverend Al Sharpton said, well, if you're not doing this in the white part of town, how do you prevent crime there? Well, that's the same tactics you should employ in the black side of town. And this violent, brutal beating of Tyre Nichols by these five officers, I mean, he was barely conscious, and they kept holding him up, and they'd punch him some more like he was a rag doll, like he was a human piñata. I mean, they were kicking him, hitting him with batons, and they literally beat him to death. And if it was not for the camera on the night pole, they would have probably gotten away with it. But that camera showed us everything, Amy. And our stomachs were literally in knots watching them beat a human being to death. And at this point, all of them have been charged both in the state and federal levels for their crimes that caused the death of Tyre Nichols. The second officer has pled guilty and can face up to 40 years in prison in the federal case.
Ben Crump, I mean, it's horrifying that I have one case after another to ask you about. But I want to ask you about this third case that you're working on in Florida. A sheriff's deputy has been charged with manslaughter in connection with the killing of 23-year-old Air Force member Roger Fortson, who was shot to death also in his own home. Police body camera footage from the May 3rd killing shows Roger Fortson answering the door of his own apartment and immediately being fatally shot by an Okaloosa County officer who was responding to a domestic disturbance report that turned out to be false. The officer shot Fortman almost immediately as he opened the door. This is a clip of the horrifying video.
Sheriff's office, open the door. Step out.
Drop the gun!
312, shots fired. Suspect down. Do not move! 312, get EMS my location.
On Thursday, former Okaloosa County Deputy Eddie Duran was charged with manslaughter with a firearm in connection with the fatal shooting of senior airman Roger Fortson, which is first-degree felony punishable by up to 30 years in prison, Ben.
Yeah, Amy, it's still heartbreaking that this 23-year-old senior airman, this American hero who fought to protect the constitutional rights, was killed in such an unjustified manner when he simply opened his door. It was, we believe, the apartment complex getting it wrong, but then this officer getting it wrong because the officer did not give Roger any time to comply with his orders. Roger, who was a law-abiding, registered gun owner, again, like Kenny Walker, Breonna's boyfriend, when black men have guns, they are not seen as law-abiding citizens. They're seen as criminals that you must take down for whatever reason by law enforcement. But he had his gun in a down position. The officer immediately told him to step back. Roger stepped back. Roger was following all the instructions of this officer who shot him multiple times. And even while he was on the ground dying, Amy, he was still trying to follow the instructions and the orders of this officer. And so it was appropriate that this officer was charged with manslaughter for use of a firearm. But it is so very rare in the state of Florida that this happens. It's only been four officers in the last 35 years that have been charged for killing citizens. All of them happen to be African-American citizens that were killed in these four charges, and there's only been one conviction in 35 years. And so we have to stay vigilant that Roger Fortson gets justice.
I want to thank you very much, Ben, for joining us. Ben Crump is a civil rights attorney. He's the attorney for the families of Fortson, Roger Fortson, and Tyre Nichols, and Breonna Taylor. Next up, we'll be joined by New York City Councilmember Yusuf Salam, one of the exonerated Central Park Five, who just addressed the Democratic National Convention last week in Chicago. Back in 30 seconds. for tomorrow by these sacred souls. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. We end today's show with a New York City council member who just spoke in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention. He's Yusuf Salam, one of the teenagers from Harlem more than 35 years ago, four African-American, one Latino, who in 1988 were wrongfully accused and convicted of raping and nearly killing a 28-year-old white investment banker who was out for a jog in Central Park. In the sensational trial that followed, the young men became known as the Central Park Five. Donald Trump spent $85,000 on full-page ads in four newspapers with the headline, "Bring back the death penalty, bring back our police." The ad read in part, quote, "Mayor Koch has stated that hate and rancor should be removed from our hearts. I do not think so. I want to hate these muggers and murderers," the ad said. During the trial, the teens maintained their innocence, but in 1990, they were convicted. Antron McCray, Kevin Richardson, Yusuf Salam, and Raymond Santana served between 6 and 7 years in prison. Corey Wise, the only teenager tried as an adult, served more than 13 years. Their story was captured in the four-part Netflix series written directed by Ava DuVernay called When They See Us. Well, on Thursday, the night that Kamala Harris spoke, before that, four members of the exonerated Central Park Five were introduced by Reverend Al Sharpton as they appeared on the stage at the DNC. Corey Wise, Kevin Richardson, Raymond Santana, and now New York City Councilmember Yusuf Salam. Two of them spoke, Yusuf Salam, but first, Corey Wise.
We won't go back.
Good evening, people. My name is Corey Wise. 35 years ago, my friends and I were in prison for a crime we did not commit. Our youth was stolen from us. Every day as we walked into courtroom, people screamed at us, threatened us because of Donald Trump. He spent $85,000 on a full-page ad in the New York Times, calling for our execution. We were innocent kids, but we served a total of 41 years in prison. Reverend Al Sharpton stood with us. Now, I'm proud to stand with him today. Vice President Kamala Harris has also worked to make things fairer. I know she will do the same as president. Now approve that message.
I love these guys. These are my brothers. These are my brothers. Yes, indeed. America. I am Yusuf Salam. A New York City councilman representing my hometown of Harlem. That's right. Representing my hometown of Harlem, USA. And listen, as my friend Corey Wise just said, 45 wanted us unalive. He wanted us dead. Today we are exonerated because the actual perpetrator confessed, and DNA proved it. That guy says he still stands by the original guilty verdict. He dismisses the scientific evidence rather than admit he was wrong. He has never changed, and he never will. That man thinks that hate is the animating force in America. It is not. We have the constitutional right to vote. In fact, it is a human right. So let us use it. I want you to walk with us. I want you to march with us. I want you to vote with us. And together, and let me tell you, this is going to be so beautiful. And together, on November 5th, we will usher in Kamala Harris and Tim Walz into the White House. So I want to do this. When I say Wednesday, I want you to say, see us. When they
see us.
When they
see us.
When they see us, America will finally say goodbye to that hateful man. We will say what I have said after 7 long years on wrongful incarceration. Free at last. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Two of the members of the exonerated Central Park Five on stage at the Democratic National Convention. That was New York City Council member Yusuf Salam, and before him, Corey Wise. Donald Trump wanted them dead. This comes as The Intercept's Liliana Segura reports the Democratic Party's platform this year no longer includes ending capital punishment, the death penalty, a goal enshrined in the party's platform for years. For more, we are joined by Yusuf Salam, representing Harlem. Yusuf, welcome back to Democracy Now! As you come off of the Democratic National Convention, your thoughts on what's happening today? You all—it was very significant that the four of you were there. You have won a, what, $50 million settlement from New York City. You were exonerated. What was Donald Trump's response to your exoneration, given he'd taken out this full-page ad calling for your death?
My gosh, you know, well, first of all, thank you for having me. It is always a pleasure to be in conversation with you. Donald Trump has always stood by his original idea that we had to be guilty of something. As a matter of fact, I remember him saying just those very words. They had to be guilty of something. The reality was that we were guilty of the color of our skin. They had judged us by how we looked and not the content of our character. Right now, our country is in a very pivotal moment where the whole world is feeling the vibrations. And I think that is really a beautiful thing because we get the opportunity to really understand how democracy is on the ballot right now. That if Donald Trump wins, he's going to turn this into a dictatorship. He is going to turn us back to a state where we were considered chattel slavery. But if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are in the White House, we get the opportunity to plan in safety. We get the opportunity to build a future that is brighter, more successful, that is inclusive, that allows for, I believe, the United States of America to be the real reality as opposed to where we are right now, divided and ununited.
The story of the Central Park Five is just astonishing, and I had a direct connection to it, aside from reporting on it. But Matthias Reis, the man who confessed and whose DNA matched after you all were in prison for so many years, the last woman he raped in my building. She ran out of the building screaming. The doorman jumped on him, and that's how he was caught. But this is the— this is the price of racism, because after you all were arrested, Matthias went on to beat and rape five women, murdering one of them, Lourdes Gonzalez, a pregnant mother of three. And it was only him coming forward, right, to one of you that led to you all being exonerated. He admitted his crime. His MO was the same all through the north of Central Park. But they never, for months, said, there is this, when you are all jailed at this point, there is this killer, there is this rapist on the loose with the same MO, what they did to Patricia Maley, the stoning and rape of her.
That's right. You know, that's the collateral effect of getting it wrong. We want to be a country, I believe, that believes that the justice system works and works well. But the problem is that we became what I call the modern day Scottsboro boys. Donald Trump was allowed to take out those full page ads in New York City's newspapers in 1989, 2 weeks after we were accused, and essentially calling for the death penalty to be reinstated in our case. They published our names, phone numbers, and addresses. They were so angry at us, believing that we were capable of something as such, that they wanted to exact justice by any means necessary. The collateral effect of that was that the real perpetrator was left to commit more crime. That's what happens often when they get it wrong. The real person is out there committing more crime. Our families, our supporters, our loved ones said, you have the wrong individual. And guess what happened? They said, no, we think we have the right one. Allowing for the real criminal to continue to hurt, to maim, and also kill his victims. This was a travesty of justice. This is why we need change. This is why we need reform. We need to be able to make sure, in fact, that the justice system works. And we don't want people who are in prison to be in prison for crimes they didn't commit. We don't want people to be murdered for crimes they didn't commit. Like right now, we have the capital punishment throughout the nation that is still exacting souls and sending them to early graves. When the truth of the matter is that when we look at DNA evidence, many of these individuals are actually innocent. I'm thinking about Troy Davis. I'm thinking about countless others. We were out here fighting for them. Yes.
So, Yusuf, the Democratic National Committee has removed the abolishing the death penalty from the platform. In 2016, the platform read, "We'll abolish the death penalty, which has proven to be a cruel and unusual form of punishment. It has no place in the United States of America." Very quickly, your thoughts on that removal of the death penalty abolition?
I think that we may be able to push forward to get that reinstated. And I'm saying that it's a travesty to send people to prison for crime. I mean, to send people to jail for jail and also their death for crimes they didn't commit.
And
when I look at what happened to us, I can't help but think, you know, Corey Wise says it all the time. He says it really the best. He says, had Matias Reyes not come forward, I would have been living a 15 to life jail sentence. He would have still been in prison. They would have never let him go. That's how much they wanted us. They wanted this thing to be that. Yes.
Finally, we just have 30 seconds. You're in the car now driving. I can't even believe we're talking to you as you sit in the passenger seat. But you're a New York City Council member. You were elected to the New York City Council. And Donald Trump has become a felon, was convicted of well over a dozen felonies. Your thoughts?
You know, here's a person who, if he was black, he would not be able to run for public office. If he looked like me, he wouldn't even be able to vote. But here he is in the highest office of the land, telling people that he is going to allow for immunity for the things that he has done. Really, this is the erasure of what we see as the American justice system. Those things that actually work. We need those things. We need those things to be and to stay a part of the system. We do not need people to run over the justice system and create new ideas and imaginations of what is unfortunate and what is criminal.
We want to thank you so much for being with us. Again, President Trump convicted of 34 felonies. That does it for our show. Yusuf Salam, now a New York City Council member. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.